It's now time for Law Talk with Brad on Talk Radio 1370 AM. He's here to take your questions regarding law and estate planning at 390-1370. And now, here's attorney Brad Wewell.
All right. Good morning, everybody. This is Brad Wewell. This is Law Talk with Brad, and we are here on a hazy Saturday morning. And but hey, it's the day before Easter, Holy Saturday, and we are here to talk about stumping me. This, ladies and gentlemen, is a Stump the Lawyer Saturday. Stump the Lawyer is a game we play here on Law Talk with Brad. And by the way, if you are a new listener, this is a legal show. We typically talk about estate planning issues because I'm board certified in estate planning and probate law by the Texas Board of Legal Specialization. But every so often, we play Stump the Lawyer. And Stump the Lawyer is a lot of fun, and you are welcome to participate. In fact, you have to participate, or we won't have much of a show today. Stump the Lawyer is the week that you can call in with any kind of legal question. It does not have to do with estate planning. It can be about, what have we had, Stump? We've had, family law questions. We've had one guy called in about how to relinquish his U.S. citizenship. We've had questions about starting a militia. How do you do that? And we haven't started a lot of those at the Wewell Law Firm, but I did have kind of some direction on that. We've had questions, a lot of questions about real estate, family law, child support, criminal matters, speeding tickets. Is it illegal to make a left turn across the double yellow line? And all kinds of questions. So today is your day. Today you can call in with any kind of legal question that you've got. You can try to stump me. I was in the car coming over here with my son, Sam Wewell, who's a senior in high school and out there on the phones, ready to take your calls. And he was reminding me about how I was stumped the last time we played this game. So you may have a good shot at stumping me today. I practiced law for about 30 years. I've done all kinds of law for the past 12 years, focused exclusively on estate planning and probate law. But you know, I remember a lot about the other stuff, but I don't remember everything about the other stuff. So you can try to stump me, but I can probably give you an answer, too. So our call-in number this morning, ladies and gentlemen, is 390-1370, 390-1370, 390-1370, 390-1370. You can email me if you've got a question. Email is fine. Email me at askbrad@wewell.us. And so it's askbrad@wiewell.us. And I'll try to answer it that way too. And we sometimes get some emails. We typically don't, but this is your day. If you got a question, email me your question and I'll answer it on the air too. So do that. Give us a call, 390-1370. Everything's fair game. If you've got a problem with your homeowners association, if you've got, again, a family member in some sort of distress, if you've just got a question that you've always wanted an answer to, there are so many just screwball and misconceptions about the law. There are so many, legal terms that you hear that you just may not know what it really means. And, you know, so this is your chance. This is kind of a Wikipedia, and that means you can – there's an online encyclopedia that you can go to with any kind of, again, screwball question, and they'll probably have some sort of an answer. Well, this is your chance to ask any kind of legitimate or screwball legal question. Screwball questions are welcome on Stump the Lawyer Saturdays. So, again, our call-in number is 390-1370, 390-1370, and Sam Wewell, Senior Class President and Eagle Scout, is ready and able to take your call and bring them to me, and I'll answer your question on the air, and we'll visit about what your issue may be. So give us a call this morning, 390-1370, 390-1370, and we'll see if we can help you with anything that's on your mind, anything that keeps you awake at night, anything, again, that you've always wanted an answer to. All right. Let's kind of dig in here and see what's cooking in my bag here. Candace Bocock, who is the Director of Probate and Trust Administration at the Wewell Law Firm, always looks for things for me to talk about while we're waiting for calls, and it looks like we already have a couple of calls. So before I get into my bag, we've got Karen on line one. And Karen, thanks for calling. What can I help you with this morning?
Hi. I am doing some contract work for a doctor, and it has been mentioned to me to open a limited liability
company.
Corporation.
Company.
And I'm wondering, what will that do for me?
Well, tell me what you're doing for the doctor, first of all.
I do ultrasound.
Oh, you do? All right. Well, that's probably something to think about. But here's what a limited liability company can do and what it can't do. And there's a certain amount of expense in setting one up. So, you know, that may be a deterrent, too, depending on what kind of property you're trying to shelter, Karen. But basically, in your position as the ultrasound technician, is that okay to call you that?
Yes.
All right. You're doing the ultrasound, and you miss something, okay? If
yes.
you've got an LLC, it doesn't matter. They can get your assets just as if they weren't in an LLC, all right? Because you cannot shelter yourself from your own liability with an LLC. So if, like your doctor, so your doctor, and we get calls from doctors from time to time, well, I want to set up an LLC to shelter myself from medical malpractice, and the answer is, doc, you can't. Now, what you can do, Karen, is you can shelter some of your assets from your own liability. So in other words, you may have a bank account. You may have an investment account. You may have a piece of non-homestead property. Homestead property is already protected under Texas law, so you don't have to worry about them taking your house. But maybe you got a duplex that you rent out, or you got a lake house, or you've got a lot someplace, or you got, you know, some decent investments and with a financial advisor or something. You can create an LLC and put your assets in that. If you get sued because you missed something on the ultrasound, they won't be able to get those assets.
Okay.
All right? So we do that. We have clients that are private pilots, and they fly around Austin and, you know, other places, and they're concerned if the plane goes down, can I protect myself by having the plane in an LLC? I said, you know, I mean, if you're piloting the plane and the plane hits a school, it's over. But you can protect your assets by putting them in a little strong box or some sort of a protected castle that you're, the bad guys can't get for you. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if your doctor messes up, I mean, this is really where your liability would come from, I think, Karen, is the doctor messes up and you get sucked in. Okay?
Oh.
Because he misreads it, and somehow his lawyers in the malpractice case go, whoa, 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 whoa. He didn't misread it. It was the technician who messed it up. Okay? So they kind of go back upstream and try to get you. It may be a good idea. But, you know, we get calls from a lot of people that have, a nice amount of money, but not a whole lot of money, maybe $50,000, maybe $100,000 in a savings account or a investment account and want to create an LLC. And we can do that, but sometimes it's maybe overkill too, all right? Because if you don't have a whole lot of money, they're probably not going to sue you anyway because it's just not worth their time and trouble.
Okay.
Okay?
So as far as other assets,
mm-hmm.
and I do have other assets, and it would probably be a good idea to open something like that,
investments. It sure may be, and we do that at the We Will Law Firm, and, of course, other lawyers here in town, too. But if we can help you, we'd be happy to. And if you're interested in coming in, we don't charge for the first visit.
Okay.
You can come in, and we'll visit about it and talk to you about it. And, you know, there may be some other less expensive alternatives, but it may be that this is a good one for you. Are you single or married?
Married.
Okay. So there's some things we can do with that. And maybe combine some things with a separate property agreement. We put more things in your husband's name, so if you get sued, they can't take it from him.
Okay.
Okay. So there's a lot of little different twists and turns that we can add to it that don't make it more complex necessarily, but sure can make it more impervious to an attack by a creditor.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much. Your time.
I appreciate you listening. I appreciate your call. Have a great Saturday.
Thanks. You too.
You bet. Bye. All right. Let's see. We got somebody in line too? All right, looks like we got Tim on line two. Tim, this is Brad Wewell, Law Talk with Brad. What can I help you with this morning?
Yeah, hey, this is Tim. Thanks for taking my call. I hope you can hear me okay.
You're doing well.
I'm going to see if I can pull over. Quick question for you. I have some in-laws, refuse to do anything with wills, and I'm wondering what your opinion is on online wills as a starting point. You know, are they worth printing some of those out, getting them to sign those and get started?
Well, let me just tell you, first of all, you're dealing with in-laws, okay? And I just got to tell you, anything, and I don't mean to, you're trying to do the right thing, Tim, and I'm all for you. But anything that an in-law gets involved with, another in-law, you're their children, not your wife, but her sister, her brother, whatever, may not see this as a noble thing and may see you as an intermeddler and a troublemaker. Okay, let's start with that. You with me?
Yeah. Well, okay. I feel like I'm in good standing enough. I can pull this one off.
Good. All right. That's good. Well, so let's get to the heart of your question with your software, Wilson. And the answer is, I'm telling you, Tim, I've said this before in the show, and you may not have heard me say it, and I want all our listeners to listen very carefully. We do a lot of probates at the We Will Law Firm. We get folks in who've died with wills, and we, you know, we probably see two or three new folks a week with that situation. And we're always happy to help them. But I will tell you, we have never seen a situation where somebody came in with a software will that was done right and that didn't have major problems. So the problem with software wills is that people think they have something they may not have. And for my money, I'd rather know I didn't have something than to think I had something I didn't have. Does that make sense?
Yep.
And if you get in to do a software will and that gets messed up, well, your good standing in the family could be hurt too. So typically, and you know, your question is a great one because it's a big frustration on the part of adult kids when they've got adult in-laws or adult parents, and the adult parents put their heads in the sand like an ostrich and don't want to do anything, right?
Right.
And your wife is frustrated and you feel her frustration and all that. What I would suggest, and I get the question all the time, both on the show and at the office, well, Brad, how do I get him to do it? And what I think the best thing to do would be to get the other adult children. Does your wife have other siblings, or is she an only child?
Does have other siblings.
All right. I would just try to, you know, Easter's a great time because it's kind of a family time. And just say, Mom and Dad, you know, we've been talking. We talked to a lawyer. Voila, me. And the lawyer said that if you don't do some planning, it's going to be real expensive when you die. That money may go someplace that you don't want it to go, and one place it could go that you may not want it to go would be the IRS. And that if we can do some, maybe even some relatively simple planning, that you know, we can really avoid a lot of problems. And the problems that we're all most concerned about, and this is a real big deal to parents, and I want you to emphasize this, we don't ever want to have any fighting between us over your estate. And that'll ring true with them because the number one concern I find that adult parents have about their adult kids is they don't want them fighting. And say, look, you know, we can get you there. And honestly, there are, of course, a number of highly qualified estate lawyers in Austin, Texas. We'd be happy to help you, but find one. We wouldn't charge for the first visit anyway. And if you can get him in and say, look, we'll go with you. At least one of the kids come with him to the first meeting. And that'll help them feel more comfortable. Then you're going to end up with a quality will or quality trust that will work and won't be something that later you find out really does have problems. And, Tim, again, they may blame you for downloading the wrong program, for not getting it signed right, for it just flat not working because they haven't worked in our experience, and you're going to get the blame. Okay?
All right. Well, and thanks a lot.
Well, let me just say this. Hold on before you go. That's not the answer you want to hear. I know it's not. And I don't blame you. But, you know, people call in here and people come into our office and they're kind of hoping, wishing, thinking, praying that it's going to come out the way that they want. And the law is not something that is easy. And it's not something that's inexpensive. And inexpensive things in the law are almost always the wrong things to do. And I don't make the law, by the way. I just have to report what it is. So, again, I'm sorry. You probably don't like the answer, but that's the real answer, okay? All right. Have a good one. Bye. All right. Yep, that's the truth, folks. And let me just tell you, people don't like hearing what I have to say sometimes. And it's kind of like you go to the doctor. The doctor says, well, you know, you've got a problem. And you thought you had a cough, and it turns out you got lung cancer. You thought you had a, you know, just having some nervousness, and you've got a heart arrhythmia. Or you thought you had this, and now you've got that. And, you know, doctors don't like giving bad news. And lawyers don't like giving bad news. And this lawyer in particular – doesn't like giving bad news. And people just kind of think there's this grand conspiracy out there, and I think that maybe Tim does too, that you know, there's a grand conspiracy to make this stuff more expensive, and why won't a software will work? And boy, it should, and I think it should, dang it. Why won't it? And ladies and gentlemen, I don't make the law. And, you know, Governor Perry doesn't call me. President Obama doesn't call me. Nancy Pelosi doesn't call me. Harry Reid doesn't call me. Nobody at the legislature, Supreme Court doesn't call me and say, Brad, God doggone, what do you think the law ought to be? You know, if they called me and I told them, I would tell them, and, you know, hopefully the law would be a little smoother. But the law is what it is. And, you know, again, I don't like the idea that somebody I know and love has cancer. But it's the way it is. And I don't like the idea that somebody can't just do something simple and voila, it works, and there you go. And they spend $30 in a software program, and it ought to work as well as a $1,000 will. Well, it doesn't. And that's just the way it goes. So don't get mad at me. Call your legislator. That's probably a good idea. Call your congressman. That's a good idea. But that's the truth. And on this show, we're going to do our best to tell you the truth, like it or not. All right. We are taking phone calls this morning. We're going to take a break here in a second. All our phone lines are open, Snoop. All our phone lines are open. Call in number is 390-1370, 390-1370. Be happy to take your calls on any topic. This is a wide open Stump the Lawyer Saturday. So any legal question that you've got on anything out there, give me a call and I'll be happy to answer. See you on the other side of the break. Thanks.
Law Talk with Brad will continue in a moment. Welcome back to Law Talk with Brad on Talk Radio 1370 AM.
Right. Welcome back. This is Law Talk with Brad. This is Brad Wewell, and I am a board-certified estate planning and probate lawyer, board-certified by the Texas Board of Legal Specialization. And today we are playing Stump the Lawyer, and you can call in with any kind of legal question that you want to. Every topic is wide open, from criminal law to family law to immigration to real estate, labor law, employment problem. All questions are fair questions, and I may not be able to answer them, but I'll give it my best. Our call-in number is 390-1370, 390-1370, and Sam Wewell's out there ready to take your call. You can also email me at askbrad at wewell.us. That's askbrad at wiewel.us. Okay, looks like we got a call-in line one from Karen.
Yes, we have a young man in our family, and I guess out of all the families, probably there is almost every family has someone in the family that just can't make it because of mental problems.
Okay,
maybe
so this
schizophrenic
is,
or
okay, mental illness.
Terribly bipolar or one thing or another.
We see it all the time.
And this young man has reached the age to where he's up in his 30s, and we're realizing that the family, with everybody pooling their resources together, they can't support this young man anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So we were hoping for some kind of, SSDI for him.
Yes, ma'am.
Because he has worked in the past. He's just lost his jobs over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And we're wondering... he's trying to get on this, but there are so many things that exclude him from being able to get on.
Mm-hmm.
And we were wondering, could we send him to school while he's waiting on this?
Well, you can. Have you all hired a Social Security lawyer to try to help
you
with this?
He has one of those hired.
And what do they tell you?
Well, they're saying, if you're well enough to go to school,
then you're well enough to work.
Then you're well enough to work, or
mm-hmm. It's a hard, hard, hard process.
And then getting the money to him, if we get the money to him, that knocks him out of
SSI.
Right.
Right.
He didn't even have a place to live.
Well, so. Let's just talk about this in general terms for the benefit of our other listeners too, and then I'll try to drill down in your question.
Right.
Would that be okay?
Yeah,
because we're using
of everyone else.
That's okay, because we're using terms that most of our listeners aren't going to know what we're talking about. there's, for people that are disabled, there are two systems. One is SSI, Supplemental Security Income, and that's a poverty-type program. And if you're on SSI, then you get a small amount of money every month, a small amount, I think it's $600-$700 a month, and you get Medicaid to cover your medical expenses and a few other things. If you're, if you've been employed for enough quarters, you can qualify for something called SSDI, Social Security Disability Income. And you can have money and be on SSDI, you just can't earn too much money. And SSDI is better. It pays more money. You can have unearned incomes. You can have an income from investments and things like that. And you're on Medicare, which is not quite as comprehensive as Medicaid, but it's very good health insurance. The problem, Karen, that you're running into is we have somebody that really may not be disabled under the SSDI definition or the SSI definition. I think that's where you're really hitting your head against, it sounds to me like.
Yeah.
Is that what the lawyer's telling you, too?
Yeah, he's pretty disabled. He's, you know, got a bipolar condition where he's pretty off the wall a good bit of the time.
It's mental illness issues, I think, are the hardest ones that the system has to deal with because, first of all, there are so many people out there with these issues, and second of all, they're correctable in some respects if you just take your darn medication. But the problem is that a lot of people that have these afflictions don't take their medication. And the governmental institutions don't want to lay out money and say, well, Johnny here is thoroughly disabled because he has this affliction, when if he would just take his darn medication, he wouldn't have the affliction or it wouldn't manifest itself. So it's a rock in the hard place situation. Mm-hmm. It's also why so many people with mental illness end up on the street.
Yeah.
Because there's no program that really can take care of them because they don't take care of themselves with proper medication.
Well, no, he takes medications, but they're always switching it. The doctors are always switching it. So he's never really gotten stable on it.
Well,
we're talking now 33 years.
Sure. Well, one of the things that I've found, though, with family members is that, and the doctors are trying. I mean, you know, they're trying to figure out, well, okay, what's the right combination here for this young man? But a lot of family members switch doctors very often, too.
No, the doctor, now that he's out of this family system pretty much because no one can afford him anymore.
And he's not very pleasant to be around, is he?
Right.
No, I understand that, too. So who is he seeing now? Does he have a regular physician?
The state has appointed somebody to him for a good many years for him to go to.
Well, the best investment, now that we're talking, that you all can do as a family is maybe hire a social worker, somebody who has experience, and we can get you a name or two of some folks who have experience in this area that can let you know what all the benefit programs are, that can work with him to get him into a place that, if there is a place, and there may not be a place, again, that's why people are on the street, that can get him into a benefit program that will actually stabilize him, keep him from harming himself, keep him from harming others, and be qualified for the government benefits that may be out there.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think that would be the absolute best investment that you as a family can make right now is to find somebody, a social worker, a licensed professional social worker,
mm-hmm.
who can go out and sit down with him and sit down with the family and say, look, for this amount of money, this is what I can do. And I think I can help you, or I don't think anybody can help you. At least you'll know. Now, one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
You as a family, if everybody in this family doesn't have a valid will with a special needs trust, or if there's not a way that when somebody dies, you want to make sure he doesn't get any money. And not to say that we're going to disinherit him, but you would want to make sure he doesn't get money in a way that's going to harm him even more, that he ends up inheriting $100,000 from his grandparents or $10,000 from you.
Mm-hmm.
The whole family needs to get together and have a comprehensive estate plan so that A, if he's going to get any money, it's going to be money that's going to supplement the care that he is entitled to, but he's never going to get cash money in his pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just something that y'all are going to need to sit down with a qualified lawyer and work out. But that's a real important part of helping somebody with a mental illness, because what would he do with $10,000?
Right. That's since we've been listening to you, we have decided to try to set up a special needs trust, maybe even through the ARC.
There you go. Yep, I talked about that last week.
Uh-huh.
So that's, again, for the benefit of our listeners. There's a wonderful group here. It's called the ARC of Texas. Used to be the ARC is ARC. It used to stand for Association of Retarded Citizens. Now it's the ARC. And they've got a master pool trust where families like yours, Karen, can set up an account. And then in the people's will, in your family member's will or their living trust or their beneficiary designations, the money that would normally go to the special person goes to the ARC. They manage it, they distribute it right, and it doesn't disqualify him. So I think you're on the right track, but I share your frustration and just your concern. I mean, you love this young man, but he's not very lovable, which is very understandable. And you're real frustrated because you don't want to see him on the street, but nobody seems to be able to help you. Is that kind of right?
Right, and I think a lot of families are facing this problem, and I was really interested when your show started tackling a lot of these issues. You've tackled a lot of these issues for the last year or so.
We have, and we do more and more of this type of work at the Weewell Law Firm, and it's very rewarding work, but it is often frustrating too. And I appreciate your thinking this through and taking some steps. But my best advice for you today would be to contact a qualified social worker. And again, if you don't have anybody in mind, we'll be happy to try to help you find somebody good at the Weewell Law Firm. We've got a couple names.
Great. I'll give y'all a call.
Give us a call, and we'll see what we can do. All right?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. Bye-bye. Tough stuff out there, folks. I'm telling you, mental illness is hard. We're probably going to have Candace ask me the other day, well, what about getting Stan Kerr back on? And we're going to get Stan back on. Stan is an attorney with the probate court here, and his entire practice revolves around representing people who are mentally ill or who exhibit mental illness tendencies. And Stan has got great advice on how to get help for people that you love that are suffering from mental illness. And I think with all the economic problems that we've got, with the substance abuse problems that we've got, with the family stress issues that are out there, that we're going to have more and more mental illness going forward. And nothing I can do to prevent that, but we can make sure that you can get some help for your loved ones. They're called loved ones because you love them. And we can make sure, through a qualified lawyer anyway, that money that may be going to them is going to them in a way that will benefit them and not harm them. And again, back to this young man we just got off the phone with, Karen. I mean, what a young man would do if he just inherited $10,000. First to be gone, probably, I'd give it a week or two, you know, and he'd have instant friends for a week or two, and then he'd have nothing. And in between there, he might get hold of some drugs, an overdose, or something else, and we don't want any of that stuff. So they're hard, hard, hard issues. But we'll talk about them here, we'll keep talking about them, and hopefully you'll learn something. And as Karen said, and this is also true, almost every family has somebody in their family that is suffering from some sort of affliction. And the law has got some answers for that, which is kind of nice. But, again, you've got to take some steps, and you really got to kind of implement this stuff. So this is a call-in show, and we've had three good calls so far this morning, and we're looking for more. And our call-in number is 390-1370, 390-1370. And I think we're going to go ahead and take a break now. And when we come back from our break, all our phone lines are open. And Sam Weewell's sitting out there. He's getting paid to sit out there. I want the boy to work. So work him. Call us with a question. Any legal question on any topic is fair game this morning. This is a Stump the Lawyer Saturday. So any matter that you're vexed with right now, give us a call, 390-1370. I will see you on the other side of the break. Thanks.
Law Talk with Brad will continue in a moment. Welcome back to Law Talk with Brad on Talk Radio 1370 AM.
All right. Hello. Hello. This is Brad Weewell. This is Law Talk with Brad. This is Stump the Lawyer Saturday. And we have got line two Line two's gone. Line one's there. All right, thanks, Snoop. All right. And who am I speaking with?
This is Bob.
Hey, Bob. Good. You've got a question, looks like, about real estate.
Yeah, we have a property in Garfield, Texas.
I know where Garfield is.
And we have Garfield. 3 acres.
Okay.
And we're trying to get rid of 2 acres.
Okay.
We need to know what the process is. Do we need an attorney or a real estate agent, or how does that work?
So basically you own 3 acres in Garfield. And
yeah.
For the benefit of our listeners, Garfield's between Austin and Bastrop, out of Highway 71.
Mm-hmm.
And really you'd like to sell 2 of the 3 acres that you've got.
We'd like to keep the one with the house on it.
You bet. You bet. And maybe, yeah, make a little money on the other 2 acres.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. That's easy to do. What you should do is contact a surveyor.
Okay.
And get a survey of the 2 acres that you want to sell and the survey, of course, the 1 acre that you want to keep. Have you identified, it sounds like you have, what part you want to sell and what part you want to keep? You know which part you want to sell and which part you want to keep there, Bob?
Yeah, we want to keep the acre that the property's sitting on.
Okay.
And we'll sell the other two.
Yeah. So have a surveyor come out and give you a meets and bounds. It's called meets and bounds description. And they'll draw it all out and say, of the 3 acres, here's the 2 that you're going to sell.
Uh-huh.
And then a real estate lawyer can help you draft up a contract if you find a buyer. I mean, you can list it with a real estate agent, and they can probably help you with some of that too, I'm sure.
Uh-huh.
And then when you go to sell, the part that the surveyor drew out, the 2 acres, becomes a part of the deed that you give the new buyer. And that becomes, sometimes it's referred to, you put them on a separate little piece of paper, call it Exhibit A, and the deed says, I'm selling you the legal description property on Exhibit A, and that's what they buy, and now you keep the 1 and they get the 2. Be careful about who you're selling to, of course.
Oh, yeah?
Well, sure, because you're going to be living next to them. And, you know,
yeah.
You may want to put some restrictions on there, and I'm serious as I could be. You may want to say, you know, you can't have an industrial use of this property. You don't want somebody putting a cement plant right next to you, things like that. And that's the kind of stuff, frankly, that a good real estate lawyer can do. We don't do real estate or do a lot of real estate that we have a law firm, but if you need a good lawyer, we can direct you to one.
Okay.
And but they can help you come up with what sort of restrictions would you want on this, Bob, so that when the people buy it next door, you know what they're buying and you know what they can do and you know what they can't do as your neighbor.
Yeah, because apparently the buyer that's trying to buy this property wants to build on it. So,
Build a home on it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that may not be a big deal, and that might be just fine. But, again, you may want to put a restriction in the deed that said, you know, you're buying this for residential purposes only, and you don't want to have a guy saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to build a big house, and you sell it to him without any restrictions, and it turns out he is going to build a cement plant, and he lied to you, but big deal, there's nothing you can do about that.
We have to get some type of clearance of what's under the property and all that?
Well, like minerals?
Well, like pipelines and all that?
Yeah. That'll be part of the survey, too.
Oh, okay.
The surveyor will do all that. And you can decide if you're going to sell the surface or the whole thing. So some people out there, and certainly eastern Bastrop County, there's been a lot of oil that's been found.
Oh, really?
You bet. And I haven't heard of any in Travis County, so it may not be anything to think about. But some people will just sell the surface, and then they'll keep the mineral interest, which means you sell him the 2 acres on top, and he builds his house, and it's his, and Godspeed. But if oil is found around you, you own the oil, and he doesn't.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no kidding.
Okay.
So that's another thing that you can talk to a qualified real estate lawyer about.
Is it pretty costly, sir?
You know, it shouldn't be too bad. I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to quote anybody's fee, but, you know, if you don't have a good real estate lawyer, again, give us a call at the We Will Law Firm. We'll connect you with one and talk to them about, you know, what it's going to cost. It may be more expensive than you want to do. You just may want to sell. You know the guy. You trust the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do the survey. Here's your property. Good luck and enjoy your new home.
At what number can I reach you?
Our office number is 480-8828.
480-8828?
Uh-huh. 480-8828.
Thank you for your info.
You bet. Have a good day.
You bet.
All right, great. Looks like we got a call on line two, and this is Brad Wewell, and is this Joe?
Yes, hello.
Hi, good morning. What can I help you with?
Good morning. Well, 2 years ago, my son was hit by a fire truck. The driver lost control, possibly because of a blown tire, slid sideways into my son, who was on a bridge and had no way of avoiding the accident. And he's had multiple surgeries on his neck, his spine, his shoulder. He was lucky to escape with his life. He is 80,000 or more in debt for medical bills, lost his job, his health benefits, his home, his automobile, you know, everything. Basically, he's been
destitute.
Living with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's destitute. Just last week, his physician cleared him to go back to work. He's been unable to work for 2 years.
Wow.
The insurance company for the city, of the municipality from where this fire truck came, says they don't have to pay because a volunteer was driving the truck. However, we have learned that the volunteers are paid a stipend every time they go to a fire or go to a training. What can we do?
Well, have you hired a personal injury lawyer yet?
We have. And actually, he's hired and fired three, I think, because after they've investigated, they've said, oh, it's really not worth our trouble. By the time we've invested all of our time and resources into this case, there's not enough money in it to make it worth our while.
Well, you know, that's that may be true, because the problem is that your son's damages sound very severe, but it's expensive for a plaintiff's lawyer to take on a case and try it if he thinks it's going to have to go to trial and make any money and not lose money on it. So I understand their perspective, but I also understand your perspective. And you said something very important at the very beginning of your phone call, that it's been about 2 years since the accident. How
yes.
many years has it actually been?
It's been 2 years and 5 weeks. It was March 8th, and a suit has been filed.
Good. Well, that was my concern.
Yeah, just before the statute of limitations ran out, he did find an attorney who would file a suit.
All right. Well, I think that is a total blessing, because for the benefit of our other listeners, you've only got 2 years to file a lawsuit if you've been in a personal injury accident.
Okay.
So you've got that file, and you've stopped the run of the statute of limitations. That's a really, really, really important thing. On the issue of whether or not the insurance company is on the hook for a volunteer firefighter, I would first of all call the Department of Insurance.
We've done that, and they said, get an attorney. we've really gotten a big runaround. Everybody just seems to shuttle us from one agency to another. But the fact is, the city is paying premiums to this insurance company, which seems to have no intention of providing the services they're paid for.
Well, I understand that also. And insurance companies, let me just say, in these situations, are in the business of collecting premiums, not in the business of paying claims. I think you figured that out too, right? I mean, they're going to put you off as long as they possibly can. And unless they've got a lawyer with a gun to their head saying, pay up or we're going to court, they're going to continue to deny your claim. And they don't have any duty to you whatsoever, because it's a private insurance company in this situation. So the lawyer that filed the lawsuit on behalf of your son, is he or she still on the case, or is that one of the ones that's gone?
No, he is still on the case.
All right. Well, I would say this. First of all, be very nice to that lawyer. Okay, and I'm not trying to be smarter or anything, but if that's a lawyer that thinks there's enough of a case there, then be very nice to them and urge them on, and you know, do your very best to cooperate and to try to get a timeline and follow whatever they tell you to do. There may be an additional lawsuit out there, and my guess is the other lawyers have looked at it too, and again, it may be too expensive to bring, against the manufacturer of the tire that blew. Okay.
Well, I think the tire had not been maintained. The tire's tread was nearly gone. It was a ball tire. I have photographs of that.
There you go.
And no maintenance records for more than 7 years on this tire.
Okay. Well, that's understandable then, too. Yeah, you don't want to be suing the wrong person at all either.
No.
You know, all I can tell you is that I would continue to press on with the lawyer that you've got. Again, it's a blessing that you've got somebody who filed the lawsuit, who's got it going. And, you know, if your son can get back to work, that's, again, a blessing, too. If he has these medical expenses, what I would tell anybody who calls, and you're probably getting some phone calls now from the...
Oh, bill collectors, collection adoption agencies, hospitals, right. anesthesia, everybody.
What you should, every day. What you should do is work with your lawyer and say, can we give these folks a hospital lien? And a hospital lien is something that he can give them in writing that would say you'll get paid from the first proceeds that we receive from this lawsuit. And medical providers are very used to these things. They're very common. And then that should stop the phone calls.
Well, let's hope so. I will suggest that to him.
Okay. And if you're still getting phone calls, the best thing you can do, and this is for the benefit of all our other listeners too here, Joe, because a lot of people are getting phone calls from bill collectors, is write the bill collectors a letter, a certified letter, and say that they are not allowed to contact you, and in this case have your son send a letter, not allowed to contact him, except in writing, and that if they contact in by phone or other way, you're going to consider it harassment and an unfair debt collection practice, and that should stop the phone calls also.
All right. Well, okay. We'll try that.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it. Sounds like a very difficult situation. I'm awful sorry you're in this situation. Hopefully, your son can find a job. How about that?
And, well, we hope so.
Well, we do. I know you do, and I wish you well on that. Okay.
So he can't perform his trade any longer. He was a welder, and he can no longer do that job. So,
right.
Anyway, I thank you so much for your information and your support.
I appreciate you. Have a happy Easter, and thanks for listening. Thanks for calling.
All right. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye. All right. It's tough stuff out there, folks. I'll tell you, that Stump the Lawyer Saturdays, we like doing them, and we get some really interesting questions, and that's another one where you've got a situation where you've got a wrong, and you're up against a Goliath, and it's very frustrating. And hopefully that young man can get some help. At least he's got a lawyer that's willing to fight for him right now, and hopefully he'll get some resolution. But let me go back to what I said to her, that for your purposes is the most important thing I may say today, and that is you've only got 2 years to bring a personal injury lawsuit. There are these things out there called statutes of limitations, and statutes of limitations are deadlines. After the passage of so much time, you cannot bring a lawsuit. And with personal injuries, it's typically 2 years. 2 years from the date of injury. And if it's not filed by then, it's gone. So she said, and great answer, it's been 2 years and 5 months, but a lawsuit was filed right before the expiration of the statute of limitations. So her son is in court. He's in good stead. And hopefully something can be done to help him recover from the accident and get his medical bills paid and things like that too. So, okay, well, it's been a great show. Been a lot of fun and very interesting, and a lot of interesting, hard, interesting calls. Again, I use that word. How many times can you use the word interesting? Snoop. Twice. All right, I'll stop. Anyway, next week we are going to be focusing just kind of on general estate planning questions again. We're happy to take your calls. We'll be have some, hopefully, some fascinating articles and things to talk about. This is Saturday, and tomorrow is Easter Sunday. And in case you're wondering why it's Easter Sunday, well, that's the day that Jesus rose from the dead and saved us from our sins, if you're a believer. So you need another extra special reason to get your bottom out of bed and go to church. And some people go to church twice a year, Easter and Christmas. Well, you know what? Hey, tomorrow's the day. Yay, we made it. So do that. And pray for our country. Lots of issues out there. Pray for Captain Richard Phillips. He's that poor little guy out there in that lifeboat with the two or three Somali pirates. Pray that he is rescued safely. Pray for your family. Pray for our family. Be fine. We'll take any prayer anybody wants to send in our direction, too. So I just want to say thanks for listening. Thanks for calling those who called. We'll be back next week with more of Law Talk with Brad. Have a great weekend.
Tune in next week for another edition of Law Talk with Brad.